It's Monday, April 7th, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Blavin.
And I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world, including such topics like magic, video games, and whatever other anime that have been aired in the past couple of weeks or two. This week, no review, just the standard stuff, regular news roundup, plus our weekly blogs of our lives that we all know you love to hear about.
It's really what they are.
I understand Blavin is sick this week.
Yep.
So we expect him to shut up.
Cough a lot.
not talk and make intrusive noises.
Yep.
This week.
Thank you.
You're just the best.
Kindly.
And Anthony's just going to laugh at you. That's what friends do.
That's what friends do.
That's exactly what friends do. So I'm, let's see. I'll open up the picks segment because I got two. The first one's not really relevant to anyone except myself. I just wanted to talk about it. Formula One's back.
Yay. We all know that.
It's just finished their three races. And the first three races, what's been evident is that Mercedes...
is Red Bull.
...is basically the super dominant team this year. And they are very, very dominant this year. They've got... at least a second and a half in their car ahead of the rest of the field. One of the things that they have really mastered is the new rules.
Mm-hmm.
And the new rules require a new hybrid turbo engine. Because of this, Mercedes have had a secret in their engine that was just leaked out to the public. And it is basically... I'm not going to go through the real... The specifics of the engine of what they did. I'll just tell you right now, they did a really clever thing with their turbo and their compressor and where they've placed it. The reason this is so important is because in past Formula One seasons, for example, Red Bull, they found benefits through aerodynamic innovations.
And other downforce.
Yeah, and other teams knew about it and then they could copy it. The thing that makes Mercedes so special is that at the beginning, before the season starts, the final engine regulations are signed off, and you cannot develop them further.
Mm-hmm.
So Mercedes has an engine advantage, which the teams now know about, but they cannot do anything about it. They cannot copy it because they're not allowed to work on engines anymore. So throughout the whole year, they're going to have this engine advantage, and no one can stop them. And that's basically what's happened. And it's pretty cool to see, because... their team is awesome. Let's face it.
Mad bias over here.
I'm not going to try and pretend like I'm not a fan of the Silver Arrows, but I think they are pretty awesome. Side note, just don't touch these things. They're fragile. They break.
Okay.
My second pick is the Tamashii Nations Summer Collection.
Huh.
Summer Collection. Now... Tamashii Nations, we all know, is the collector-oriented focused line from Bandai. They do everything from Kamen Rider to Marvel stuff, robots, so on and so forth. This year, they're really, really pressing this summer collection thing going on. And they've dropped a whole bunch of news on what they're going to release over the summer months. And I think it's all because of the fact that they realize that the summer months are very... I guess... the only other hobby competition for toys would be video games.
I don't know. And summer's kind of slow usually still.
For video games.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
They know, like, in the grand scheme of toys, the toy nerd general hobby,
mm-hmm.
the only thing that sells more than toys are video games. And they understand that summer is where video games slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I guess they've started to understand this, especially in the West. And they're going to capitalize. And they've just dropped a whole bunch of orders of toys that I just... didn't see coming anywhere. And they've kind of just loaded up July and August and with everything I want.
I saw the new Sailor Scout. And yes.
Saturn.
No.
Oh.
Jupiter,
okay.
Yeah.
I was like, you said new... Yeah, okay. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to start off with the July listings. And the July listings include, of course, Sailor Jupiter. They're doing all the Gaim figure arts in that month. So if you're up on Gaim, that's where those are going to show up. Godzilla movie stuff is happening there too. They've shown off a new Iron Man from the Mark 42.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, it's pretty cool. For you Macross fans, the new YF-30's there. Gal Gaigar fans will like to know. Gal Figar comes out that month. And then they're doing reissues of old Macross Valkyries I've been wanting for the longest time.
Are they smaller scale than like the latest one you bought, that huge one?
No, the same size.
Same size as
those. Same size, but these are the Bandai ones, so they're die-cast, and it's based off the Frontier designs, not the original designs.
Okay.
So, and those go for 150 each.
Damn.
And, like, this all sounds good, and I'm like, oh, man, all right. So I've already planned that I'm going to obviously grab the Sailor Scout and whatever. But then they also announced their drop in metal build, Levitine.
Levitine.
From Full Metal Panic. And I was just like, oh, man. And it just turned out to be a whole bunch of stuff that I want to get, and I have to cut sacrifices out to make the budget. And it looks like
Such hard problems, eh?
Yeah, I know. Talk about first world problems. So I decided that I'm going to go all out and just cut all the small stuff.
Did you already do that last year?
No, but like, I mean, like on this month, I can't get everything.
Oh, okay.
Like for me, the top things are like, I want the Galfigar. I want the Macross Valkyrie. I want Sailor Jupiter. I want, not Gaim, but Baron, the banana arms.
Yeah.
And I wanted that metal build thing. And I decided, okay, it'd be stupid if I dropped pre-orders on everything. So I just decided to get the metal build. And the cool thing about that is it has an opening cockpit, and it has a display base that's also a hangar. So it comes with its own hangar and stuff. And it comes with little pilots you can put inside. So I thought it was pretty cool.
What if Sailor Jupiter came with her own hangar?
I'd be there.
All right.
But she doesn't. Well, the thing about Sailor Jupiter is I can wait till August when she comes out in America.
Morocco, yeah,
sure. So there's that for consolation for that, but yeah. But you know, that was really it for my picks. Blaven, what did you want to talk about this week?
Obviously, it's about magic.
Oh, great!
The Journey into the Next spoilers have been shown. There's just a bunch of new cards. I just wanted to talk about the new mechanics that they have. It's called one of them is called Constellation. So Constellation says, anytime this creature or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, an X effect happens. Like, some of them is like draw a card or target creature can't block this turn. So they're really pushing the enchantments thing. Another thing is called Strive. So this is you have an increased payment for targeting multiple things. For example, one of them is one white. And it gives your creature +1/+1 and is indestructible. But you can pay 2 and a white extra, so 4 mana, to target 2 things. And then you keep adding 2 and a white mana more for each target after the first. So you can pay, 1 or 4 to target 2, 7 to target 3 things.
Oh.
So you just go more and more and more and more until... So you can, trigger multiple things.
Dang.
Yeah, so those are the two new mechanics that are coming out. And we're all pretty excited. Everybody's just really excited to see the new gods, because now they have the 5, or the enemy-colored gods. So red, white, blue, red, black, green, and green, blue.
Mm-hmm. Those are the enemies?
I think they're called the enemy ones. Yeah, if you look in the pie chart, I think that they're across from each other, so they're enemies.
Oh.
So, you know how it's Wooburg and it's all in a circle? The ones together are the...
Oh, I
see. Or are these allies? I can't remember. I think...
There's some relationship.
I think they're all, enemy colored. Anyway, they released one. It's the red-white god, and he's a 7/4 indestructible, and if your devotion to it is less than 7, it's not a creature. But it's really interesting, because his two abilities are... Your creatures can't be blocked unless they're blocked by 2 or more creatures, and your creatures don't take damage when they're attacking. And red white is traditionally the curl color that just lets you attack and attack.
Endlessly, yeah.
And now you can just jam all your dudes with no penalty.
Wow.
Which is insanity. I think it's insane. We don't know if it's actually going to be good. But, I mean, red white's the strongest archetype in Theros draft right now. Or Born of the Gods draft. So, with this, it's just like... Pfft.
Well, it's either the other gods must be even crazier.
I mean, the 5 or the multicolored gods, the ally colored ones from the last set were pretty bad. So we're hoping that these ones are amazing.
Okay.
This guy is way better than any of the other ones.
Oh.
They're still not as good as the monocolored ones. The monocolored ones are sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But the last ally colored ones are pretty bad. But this one's shaping up to be good. If they're at the same power level as this red white one, it's gonna be insane. But Journey, if you guys are keeping up, every midnight, new spoilers, so it's gonna be sweet. Check it out.
When does this set drop? The full set.
So the full set, the pre-releases start at the end of this month.
Oh, so it's coming up. I knew it was in May, right?
Yeah, and it comes out first week of May.
Oh, okay.
So it's I didn't realize it was this close. So it's gonna be pretty sweet.
It's coming up.
Yeah, so it's going to change a lot because it's going to be now we're going to draft one Journey to Nyx, one Born of the Gods, one Theros. So a lot of pick orders are going to have to go up and down and stuff. So it's going to be pretty crazy.
Okay.
We'll see what's up.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how this turns out.
The set. Oh, yeah, and also they're going to have a new Planeswalker. They're going to finally have their first, I think the prediction is they're going to have their first green-white Planeswalker.
Oh, cool.
They haven't had one yet. And we're thinking it's Johnny, who's green-white, because he's always traditionally been white, and he's wearing a lot of green garments. So, we're like, and also, I think the community's just been talking about wanting a green-white one.
Yeah.
So now Magic's like, okay, STFU, here's a green-white. here's a green-white, stop bothering us. So, yeah, we'll see. That's it for me.
That's cool.
Anthony, I believe your picks are...
Yeah, mine are April Fool's related.
All right, April Fool's was last week.
Yeah, and so what happened was a bunch of people came out with April Fool's jokes.
But yep.
One of them I really liked was from Samuel Adams, the beer company.
Mm-hmm.
They had one that was called Helium, and the April Fool's was that they had a new beer line that they infused with helium.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, the lighter bubbles would make it a better taste and, like, bring out more flavors and stuff.
Right,
but it was just
right.
funny because in the commercial, they actually did it. And so they would drink the beer, and then their voices would go up like you just had a bunch of helium.
Hmm.
It was pretty cool. I liked it mostly because of the pun. It was Helium.
Yep, Helium. Cool. Yep.
And then the other one that I've actually been partaking in is for League of Legends. They came out with a new mode called Ultra Rapid Fire.
Yes.
And in Ultra Rapid Fire, they gave every character a huge buff.
Mm-hmm.
So the tooltip in the game, the buff is called the Awesome Buff of Awesomely Awesome Buffing. All mana and energy costs for skills are reduced by 100%.
Okay.
So no skills have any cost, and you can just use them. 80% cooldown reduction on abilities, activated items, and summoner spells.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, in regular games, the cap is 40%.
Okay.
Yeah. You get 25% tenacity, which is crowd control reduction, right off the bat. You get 60% movement speed, and speed while moving, which is what the tooltip says. So I think you get bonus speed while you're moving.
Wow.
Which is weird. All attack speed bonuses on Rage Champions are buffed by 100%. So if you get an item that gives you 20% speed buff, you get 40% instead. Mm-hmm. Critical strikes of Rage Champions deal 25% additional damage.
Wow.
So
it just sounds like Mayhem mode.
Yeah. 35% resistance against dinosaurs. Keep out of reach of designers who like sane tooltips. Yeah. And this unit is currently able to traverse the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
And the source is dark voodoo magics.
So how long do these matches last?
About 15 minutes.
I was going to say, this sounds really, really fast.
It's crazy and so much fun.
Okay.
Some characters just got out of control. One character, Sona, she's usually a support. She starts off really weak.
Yeah.
And in regular games, she's good, but you really got to know how to play her. In this mode, she was so good that Riot took her out of the queue.
Oh, wow.
So you cannot play her in this mode anymore.
Oh.
There are other people, like this one guy, Hecarim. He's a horseman.
Yes.
He spins his scythe around his head. But once you get to his... every time you hit him, you get less cooldown reduction. Like, even more cooldown reduction. Mm-hmm. So eventually, when you get the max stacks, it's just instant.
Yeah.
So you just mash Q, and you're constantly doing ability damage, and no one can touch you. There's been some people who do, people who have target stuns. So it's like, I target you, I shoot a bolt at you and it stuns you, but they use two people in the same lane and they'll just stun lock you until you die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just insanity mode. It's really, really fun. You can get really creative with different team compositions and different players and stuff. It's cool. It's really cool. And those are my picks.
Did you see any other April Fool's things that stood out to you?
I saw Google did like a Pokemon thing.
Did you partake in it?
No,
not. It was pretty cool.
I didn't know it was something you could partake in. I thought it was just...
Yeah, it was basically, here's Google Maps, search around the world for all the Pokemon.
That's pretty cool.
And they limited it to 150. Mm-hmm. And I think the top, if you caught them all, you were entered into the competition to have an interview at Google.
Damn it. I knew there was a reason.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't partake. I watched Melissa do it. She caught like 130, and then she's like, forget it.
She's almost there.
Yeah.
I gave up on like 50.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Did you go to Japan?
Yeah.
Japan had like 70.
I found like nothing in Japan.
What? Oh, are they moving? Oh.
Everything I found was in Sydney, Australia.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I went to Tokyo Tower, and I was like, yo, there's like 50 Pokemon here.
You got an interview at Google.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the top prize was a job at Google, but obviously, terms of service. Yeah. Who knows if that was real? I don't know, on April Fool's, it was the day, like, I woke up and I'm like, I'm just going to try and find the story that's real.
There was one crazy news story I saw on the BBC,
mm-hmm.
where a man who works in an apartment found what looked like a body outside on the ground.
Yeah.
And so him thinking, because April Fool's, he's like, okay, someone just dressed up a mannequin and then put it here. And, like, sprayed some ketchup and made it look like a body. And him and two other people, so three people in total, helped carry this body and put it in the dumpster. It turned out to be an actual body.
Huh.
Like, this 80-year-old lady jumped out of her apartment and killed herself with a suicide note. And him and two other people thought it was a mannequin and threw it in a dumpster.
I mean, like, I know it's April Fool's, but when you're going to pick up that body, I don't know.
I don't, like, the what happened was the guy who worked there got fired.
Oh.
And he lost his job. Which is crazy because it wasn't only him, but it was also two other people who didn't know.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was kind of nuts.
That's a shitty way to lose your job.
Yeah.
But I guess he should have checked.
He wasn't charged with any criminal charges because they believe him that he actually thought it was a prank.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Blizzard's April Fool's?
No.
They made a fighting game.
Oh, I hope it's real.
Who knows? But yeah, they made a fighting game. So there you go.
That's pretty funny.
With all their big characters, but yeah. That's it for our picks. Anything else you guys want to mention or highlight? Or are we good to move on to the next segment? Blavin's giving me the nod, so...
I'm good.
I'm just gonna move along.
Hello, listeners. Did you know you can email us at 3nerdsinabasement? Well, you can. Just send us an email at tniab.letters@gmail.com and we will read your message on the air.
Okay, so this week, for 4 weeks, I think I'm going to open up this segment. Before I do, I'm going to read a letter.
Oh, no way.
Oh, my God.
Read a letter, because the back half relates to what I've been doing this week, so I'll as long as this thing loads up. Here we go. It's from Albert.
Oh, hey.
So, hello, nerds. I recently heard the podcast where you guys talked about the Boss Monsters card game and thought it was pretty interesting to hear your thoughts on the game. Coincidentally, a couple of my friends picked it up, and we've been playing it fairly often. I love the theme, but I feel that the bosses are lacking impact. I think you guys would like Cosmic Encounter. Everybody plays an alien with an overpowered ability, and it results in chaotic conflicts. So there you go.
Yeah.
Cosmic Encounter, we'll keep a lookout for that.
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay. Second part of the letter reads, everyone on the podcast also has mentioned Dark Souls before. I've played a ton of Monster Hunter, and I love the hell out of it. How does Dark Souls compare to Monster Hunter? What's everyone's opinion on Dark Souls? I want to jump on the Dark Souls train, but I'm not sure if I would enjoy it. Thanks, nerds. Keep the podcast going. So I don't know which one of you guys want to tackle that.
Dark Souls is nothing like Monster Hunter.
Yeah, it doesn't really compare. Yeah, it's not a comparison.
It's granted, it's a third-person action game, but it's not so much... it's more survival than action. I mean, you really have to plan out your moves more than Monster Hunter.
Uh-huh.
You don't have anyone to back you up, ever. And it's much less forgiving than Monster Hunter. I mean, the losses that you face, for example, pretend like in Monster Hunter, if you lost to a guy, you lost the weapon you were currently carrying. It's like, that's how crushing it would be to lose, like, a life in Dark Souls. And in order to get your thing back, you're going to have to use one of your crappy items to go get it back from the boss. You know what I mean? Like, it just nuts. The setbacks are real. Not like in Monster Hunter. Like, oh, hey, you lost some money.
Back to the village.
Yeah, back to the village. Go try again, you know? This one, it's, you didn't progress. Too bad. Now it's harder for you to progress.
Okay.
What are you going to do, right?
Especially in Dark Souls 2 now. Yeah.
It's also a lot slower. It's not... Don't expect that you'll have insane swings that can really wipe out an entire map full of things.
It's very methodical.
It's very methodical. You have to time things right. And also, it has... I mean, as much as Monster Hunter is lacking for story,
mm-hmm.
this is lacking even more. You really have to find your own story kind of thing. You have to dive into the lore.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, is that, there is a multiplayer element, but most of the time... People are out to get you. They're really not there to help you.
They got shady ways to get you.
Yeah, they got shady ways to get you, too.
Like, turn into a vase.
But overall, the experience is really awesome.
So that's what I was going to get to. Obviously, you love both Monster Hunter and Dark Souls. I'm talking to both of you guys. But So I want to know why you love Dark Souls.
I'm a masochist.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that answer.
Yeah, whatever, man. Like, if the more pain you give me and I get through it, feels good.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think that helps him. He's just like, oh.
No, okay. The challenges in Dark Souls are very real and very difficult.
Uh-huh.
But the satisfaction you get from completing them is very, very, like, rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, Monster Hunter, you're right. If you can't beat the Giganox, sure, you grind a little bit and you'll beat him eventually. Then you just start farming him. But, I mean, in Dark Souls, once you beat that one area, and it unlocks a brand new area where there's more things to fight, it's just this feeling that you actually hit a milestone kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Giganox, you know, beating him once isn't really anything because now you know how to beat him efficiently. You just do it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Dark Souls, it's you reach a milestone every time you beat a boss or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like about it. I mean, you can clearly see your progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it is the reward of beating something. Like, if there's just a shitty spawn of enemies, then it's like, this is impossible. And once you do get past that, and once you really do figure out a way to get past it, it feels like it's more on you, the player, rather than the equipment you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can go into the final boss of Dark Souls just pimped out to the max.
Yeah.
And you'll still get wrecked if you play improperly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the feeling that I did this rather than I grinded until my equipment carried me through the game. Like, no matter how many mistakes I made as a player, it's a really rewarding experience.
I don't know. See, I don't find them all too different from what you guys are talking about. Like, I still find it the same. Like, you still have to learn how the boss fights.
Mm-hmm.
The boss can still wipe you out instantly. It really the big difference for me is in Dark Souls, like, you get fucked up hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you do lose, like, that retry button. Listen, buddy, you're screwed. Like, now you're gonna have to come back, and it's gonna be an even tougher challenge.
Yeah,
but I think I still find the base mechanics are pretty similar.
Yeah. Again, like I said, it is a third-person action-adventure.
Yeah, despite Dark Souls not having somehow even less of a story, there's more of an emphasis on exploration.
Yep.
They really create the world in a way for you to explore it. And then whatever NPCs you do find, like, you kind of want to talk to them to learn about the area, to learn what the heck they're doing there.
Yeah, like in Monster Hunter, I've always found that, like... I guess if I were to compare it, like, in Monster Hunter, you feel a little bit like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With your armor and weapons, whereas in Dark Souls, you're always just a regular dude. Like, fighting two guys just at once is still tricky. Like, it's not like in Monster Hunter where you come up five jaggeds and you're like, well, whatever.
Vroom, one greatsword swing, they're all dead.
But I do still find the boss encounters largely Similar in concept. No doubt Dark Souls is the harder game, but...
Get on it. It's a good train to be on.
Yeah. You know what? Yes. Again, that leads into my week. I've been playing a lot of Dark Souls 2.
Oh.
So what was the boss you defeated when you were like, I finally beat that boss on Twitter?
The Ruined Sentinels.
The Ruined
Sentinels. Oh, the two dudes?
The three dudes. Oh, the three dudes. Those guys... F those guys.
Those guys are rough.
F those guys in the A. Oh my god.
The first guy's easy. Like, no doubt.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that there's two of them afterwards, and you're just like, no. No.
And to get a better spot to fight two, you need to jump off and damage yourself.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
You guys are noobs.
So good.
Yeah. But no. So, like, I've played bits of Demon's Souls and bits of Dark Souls, but I can never get into the game. And I don't know if that's because of a lack of effort. In Demon's Souls, it probably was more of the whole lack of anything, just lack of information everywhere.
Hopefully you read all those bloodstains and all those messages.
Yeah, I know. But in Dark Souls 2, the one thing that I really, really enjoy is the menu.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to understand. And there's this help button that lets me know, even though a stat says strength, what am I exactly doing with this? How come I can't wield a weapon properly? It's easy to figure out why that's the case now. Mm-hmm. The world itself is still, like, they're not going to teach you everything. Or they're not going to tell you a lot about everything. And there's a lot of ways that the game is just out there to get you. Which is, you know, understandable. That's the type of game it is. But, I don't know. For some reason, this one's really clicked with me. I like the hub world that they give you.
The town?
Yeah. I really like the hub world.
It seems like as you find people, it becomes more populated and stuff.
Yeah, and like I'm only 12 hours in, I think.
Mm.
And I don't think I've gone very far. I've only beaten 4 bosses, I think.
Okay. So, you're around the same area as I am.
Yeah, so like I beat the giant, I believe is what he was called.
The final giant or the last giant.
Yeah, where you just attack his feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, him.
I like his design. Like, he has, like, no face. It's like, mm-hmm, caved mm-hmm. in on itself.
This knight that, like, comes and fights you.
Oh, Platinum Angel? Yeah, totally.
What?
There's this guy in the game who looks like Platinum Angel.
I know you said that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is it an angel?
Yeah, he's just, like, a hovering knight.
And his sword turns blue.
Yeah, and he shoots sword beams at you.
Yeah, the way he comes into the battlefield, he's riding a giant eagle.
a crow. Yeah.
Oh, a giant crow, yeah, and just drops him. Yeah. And he's like, let's go.
Did you face him the first time when it wasn't a boss encounter?
Yeah, on top of the thing, like...
Did he wreck you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Did you find the shortcut there?
Can you beat him there?
You can, yeah. And you get something. You get a bonus.
No, I didn't find the shortcut. Wait, which shortcut?
You can blow up a wall.
With what?
There's a bunch of barrels.
You gotta roll them there.
No, you don't roll them. You throw some sort of fire.
Oh.
And the fire blows up all the gunpowder, and it blows up a wall where the bonfire is before you have to go down the stairs. So you only have to go through the wall instead of going down the stairs and around.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm past that now, so. And then I did the Sentinels, and then I did the, what's that dude's name? He's the knight, he's in all black, and you have to fight him to get the become Blue Sentinel.
Oh, I don't think I've even done this.
Blue Sentinel, like from X-Men?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the covenants is the
Blue Sentinel. It's like it gives you this ring so that like if someone's in trouble, I'm automatically sent there to help them.
Oh, cute.
Cool.
I didn't use it.
Of course not.
What am I going to use it for?
Of course not.
But yeah, no. Like, I've been having a lot of fun. I ended up starting with a swordsman, which probably wasn't the best idea.
Okay.
Because I'm not good at this game. I get wrecked all the time.
I started with the mercenary, the one with the axe.
Oh yeah,
this is coming from the guy who said he's going to start with
I was like, I'm going to start with Deprived, and I saw that, and I'm like, no, I'm not.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was going to go with the knight, just because I like the armor you start out with as a knight,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like, I always like the hooded two-sword thing. I want to be an assassin, like Assassin's Creed. No, I ended up getting a shield, and I'm ditching that second sword.
Apparently dual-wielding is pretty viable in this one. Maybe later game.
Early game, it was okay. It wasn't until I got a dagger that it really helped me out, because then I could just break a lot of animations.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could... Because that the animation on the dagger swing is super quick, so you could always get in there and break someone's attack.
Okay.
But, I ended up going to have, eventually, I'm like a fencer.
Oh, nice.
So I have an S-Dock,
is what it's called. Do you parry a lot? No. Oh, it's rough.
No.
No, around the back.
No, man. I do not parry at all.
You are doing it wrong.
I
is that what you're supposed to do, though? It has an auto-parry, or it has a parry thing, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
The S-Dock doesn't?
I don't remember. I use a hulking greatsword, and I just swing for days.
You would.
Oh, I guess you would use the giant sword. But yeah, you know what? I'm having a lot of fun. Progression is very slow.
I lost. As per Dark Souls.
There's been more than one occasion where I've just lost like 40,000 souls.
Oh!
Those are the best days.
It's like, oh, I gotta get back to my bloodstream. You fall off a cliff. And it's like...
And I'm just like, you know what? Forget it. I'm gonna turn this off here, and I'm gonna go somewhere else. But on those days, what I do is I just put down my sigil, and I help people with bosses, and then I get those 40k back, and I'm like, all right,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, at the beginning, I'm sad I can't play it, because this is the prime time to help people.
Oh, to help people.
Because this is the time when nobody's beaten the bosses.
Yeah, you know what, I called for help on one of the bosses, and they were really helpful.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, yeah. you really want to help me succeed.
And like, yeah, no, some people do the same thing that you do, yeah. Where they are like way late game,
yeah.
But they come back to like the first boss, and you summon them, and they're just decked out.
Yeah, that happened to me. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing here? And then, because I saw like how much damage I was doing, how much damage they were doing. I'm like, yeah.
You just take chunks off.
Yeah, I'm like, man, suddenly my life is so much easier. The one thing I don't understand, I don't know, I can't remember if this was in Dark Souls, but I'm pretty sure it was in Demon Souls. When you help someone out, you became human again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one you don't?
You do not.
And yet, sometimes I do.
I don't know, because that's happened to me.
Yeah.
Where sometimes I become human again and I have no idea why.
So I looked it up. Apparently it's a glitch.
Oh.
But in the next patch, they're going to make it you do become human.
Oh, okay.
Help someone out.
Because there was a time where I beat like 3 bosses in a row and I still didn't become human.
Yeah, and then eventually you're human and you're like, yeah. What happened?
And yeah, the big scary thing what that like early talk was, because you have the human effigies.
Yeah.
And you have to use them to become human.
Uh-huh.
And if you were... If that's a limited resource item, eventually you could run out and you're just dead forever.
Mm-hmm.
And like players were like, that's brutal. It's crazy.
So. It sucks too, because when you're not human, you can't summon help.
Right? Yeah, you can't summon help. You can't be invaded. That's the other thing, though.
Right, you can't be invaded.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How are you finding the new despawning enemies?
You know what? I like it. I like it. Like, because after... There's been areas where I've just been here for forever, just mm-hmm. trying to progress further, and then when they disappear, I'm like, whatever. Now I have more life, I have more weapon endurance to get through the further areas. Because
mm-hmm.
that was happening to me a lot, because I guess it's maybe just because of the sword I chose, but they do not have durability.
Yeah, that's also the new thing of the durability.
Yeah, my weapon durability sucks, so when they disappeared and I get to start halfway in the level without enemies,
mm-hmm.
it's just a lot easier for me to progress.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying this one.
Yeah, I am.
It's about time.
I hope I finish it. I'll say right now, it's the best game to be playing alongside Titanfall. Because on days when I'm just like, F you, Dark Souls, I go to Titanfall and just rock everybody's world. I'm like, that's right.
I'm the best.
That's right. And then when I'm feeling too good, I go back to Dark Souls. I'm like, oh, this is reality. Here we go.
Worst.
Yeah. That's my life. But yeah, no. Nice. So Dark Souls is fun. Albert, I recommend it. I too like the Monster Hunter. I think if what you like about Monster Hunter most is playing with others, that's the only thing that should stop you from getting Dark Souls.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
If like what you enjoy about Monster Hunter is playing with your friends, do not get Dark Souls.
Yeah.
But if you want, like Blavin said, to be beaten all the time.
And battered.
Yeah.
Delicious.
It's for you. The next part of my week was... So, both Kill la Kill and Gundam Build Fighters came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting my final thoughts. Kill la Kill was awesome.
Yeah,
right up to the final scene, it was awesome.
Which, what final scene?
Fashion Week.
Fashion Week.
Yeah.
That's so cool!
Yeah. So her final form is Fashion... It's just... Her Super Saiyan form is Fashion Week.
It's called Fashion Week.
And it's pretty cool. She's like glowing orange, and
like
she has
space.
Yeah, she puts the scissors together. Like it was really cool. I will say, by the time it ended, I was ready for it to end. I was like, yeah, I don't want any more of this.
I don't think I could handle another season of that pace. Yeah.
And it was a slightly sad ending, but I wouldn't really call it bittersweet. There's just like a moment of, oh, okay. I mean, there's more happy than there is bad at that ending. So I really enjoyed Kill la Kill. Probably my favorite anime for the winter. It just narrowly edges out for me the other one, Gundam Build Fighters, which too had its end, and wow, the ending to Build Fighters is something else.
They built the Earth.
TJ, did you watch the finale to Build Fighters?
Yeah.
There is some insane stuff. Blaven, if you watch it, you'll be like, everything you like about Gundam will be in there.
That's funny.
Everything?
You should see when they brought it out the last second, but there's a Build Fighters custom goof they bring out.
Yeah.
And he's paired up with who's Master Asia's gun? The Devil Gundam?
Master Gundam?
Master Gundam. But the Master Gundam has like gold fins and stuff.
Okay.
And they do like instead of a punch,
yeah,
the goof makes like a cherry blossom tornado. and the Master Gundam, instead of doing the punch, it does a rider kick.
What?
What?
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. It's insane. And then the final scene, like the final scene, is pretty awesome. It's the manliest of manly fights you can watch. And then because of the story, you don't get to see the winner.
Of course.
Like the fight has to stop halfway for a certain reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I really enjoyed it. And that leads into the final thing. I finally built Gundam Exia Dark Matter, which we have here. On the display, and it's based off of 2007, I believe, Exia High Grade, and this kit's pretty cool. Comes with the Dark Matter booster. I will say the booster I think is kind of whatever. It adds
more spikes.
Yeah, but it's okay. I mean, I personally don't like it. I like it without it. I think Exia looks a lot cooler without it.
Looks like a Mega Man boss.
Yeah, so he's basically a red Exia with some cool designs. The one thing I will say about the booster is it's got this transformable mode where you could pull out the wings, and then what it does is you can make yourself like a little laser beak.
I thought that's what it was. That's pretty cool.
And in the anime, what happens is this little laser beak bird shoots basically a satellite cannon.
Oh, cool.
What? Yeah. It makes no sense. Exia also comes with the fire and ice swords, which I think are kind of crap. They don't really stay in his hand. But the booster has this one final trick where you can pull off the wing, and then you can pull out a handle, and then he has, like, Wolverine claws that he holds, like, underslung himself. Like,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's okay. Personally, I just like him having the rifle, and that's it. And, yeah, it's a cool kit. I think I might buy another one just so I can paint it the regular color seen in the show. Because this the Dark Matter Exia actually starts out as the Amazing Exia. And it's just the regular Exia colors.
Okay.
And then before they make him evil. That's why he goes red and black.
Okay. Of course. Obviously.
And then in the final scene, they do the Amazing Exia repair where they combine the Exia with the camphor. And when I saw it on screen, I was just like, oh, man. I need that one. And it's cool. It's basically the Exia with like giant camphor armor plates on it, and he has all guns instead of swords. And I'm like, hey, that's the Gundam I wanted to build. So
I wonder if you can mix and match the parts from the two.
You can. You can. It takes a little bit of work to get some of the armor plates on, but if you want to switch out like just the arms and stuff, you can do it.
That's cool.
I've seen it done. And I've seen some people paint it the regular Amazing Exia colors, and I'm like, super cool. So yeah. That's it. I recommend it if you like Exia. If you don't like Exia, don't bother. Anthony, you want to tell me about your week?
Keeping on the anime train.
Yeah.
I watched JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 3, Stardust Crusaders. Episode 1 came out this week.
How was it?
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Of course it was.
Like, there's nothing wrong. The thing about this series so far is that the animation is just so good. And a lot of the epic shots are panel for panel from the manga,
which is always good.
Which is really, really cool.
pander to the fans?
Pretty much. And they're moving. Like, this is the longest arc of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
But they're just powering through it?
Yeah, but episode 2, they're already getting to the first main battle.
How long was that in the manga?
I think it took a couple, like, at least, it was in the double digits of chapters.
Oh, wow, okay.
Double digits.
Like 10 or something.
Seven, yeah.
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 But still, like 10 chapters of build-up, that's still a lot. But yeah, so one episode, 30 minutes, you get through a good chunk.
Yeah.
And yeah, they show off stand powers finally. They're really cool to look at animated and stuff. It's great. I also watched the Bayonetta movie.
There's a movie?
Yeah, so Bayonetta Bloody Fate.
It's anime.
It's an anime movie.
Okay.
Live action movie, no.
That'd be awesome.
But it follows the story of the first game, and it more clearly tells you what the story actually is.
Oh, right, because all you saw was action. Because
in Bayonetta, all you saw was action, and then at some point it was like,
cutscene.
This girl is Bayonetta from the past, and I'm your dad. What's up? I gotta murder you now. Yeah, it was weird.
Huh.
And they don't really do a good job explaining it. But the trade-off of telling the story more clearly in the anime is that there's less action.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, I guess it's like a trade-off, but yeah, but for how action-focused Bayonetta is, I was kind of disappointed for the lack of fights and lack of really cool action. They only used a couple of her weapons from the game. They used her four pistols, they used the sword, and they used her double bazookas.
Double bazookas.
Yeah, you can get quad bazookas in that game. Just strap bazookas to your arms and your legs and go nuts.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. And they're shaped like tonfas.
Oh!
So they're tonfa bazookas.
So she hits people with them.
She hits them and then shoots rockets.
Isn't there gotta be some sort of like limitation on that? Because if she's gonna close quarters bazooka rockets, isn't she gonna get hurt too?
No.
Yo, it's anime. No logic.
Yeah, welcome.
No logic needed.
Welcome
yo.
To anime.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, oh, those are so broken in the game, but yeah, it was whatever. It was okay. Fine. Like I didn't feel like I wasted an hour and a half watching it, but I didn't feel like I gained anything from it. So it was whatever. If you're a Bayonetta fan and you're still confused about the story, probably check this movie out. You get a way clearer idea on what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
I've also been playing aside from like Final Fantasy X and stuff. I got the two pieces of DLC for GTA 4.
Welcome to 2008.
Yeah.
9?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were on sale for $5 for both of them.
Haven't they been like that price for forever?
I've never seen it like that. So I was like, oh, $5 for two pieces of DLC. I'm okay. Done. And so the first one is the Lost and the Damned.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I finished that one. You play as Johnny Klebitz. He's the vice president of the Lost Motorcycle Club.
We.
And pretty much you've been running the club because the leader went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the story picks up. Of you and your crew going to pick up the leader, Billy Gray, from jail. And then when he comes back, your two different styles in leadership kind of clash together. And from there, it's kind of a fight between Johnny and Billy. And Johnny's more Billy's more the old school type who likes just like, we're a motorcycle gang, we gotta show we're tough. We gotta go out and like become the alpha male, become the alpha club. And then Johnny's more of a business-focused guy. He wants to make money for the club, so he can help all the members and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they clash. And that one was good. It was pretty short. Like, I finished it in a sitting.
They're both pretty short.
Yeah. But it was good. It was a really interesting story, and seeing how it overlaps with Nico's story from GTA 4 was really cool. There are a couple missions where you go on a mission with him. And like hang out with them, it's pretty cool.
I think the biggest overlap is when they have the diamond.
For the DLC is when they have the diamond mission.
Yes,
and so that goes into the Ballad of Gay Tony.
Yeah,
and in that one, you play as Luis Lopez. He is a Spanish bodyguard for this guy named.
That was the best of GTA 4. Ballad of Gay Tony.
I've only been playing it for about an hour or two.
Uh-huh.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're the bodyguard for Anthony Gay Tony Prince.
Yeah.
And he is a nightclub owner. He owns the hottest nightclubs in Liberty City right now.
Yeah.
But it turns out he owes a bunch of money to the Ancelotti family, an Italian mob.
Yeah.
And so from there you have to get him. You got to get Tony out of his own mess.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy.
I remember really liking
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's so nuts. Like one of the first missions you have for one of Tony's friends is to steal a military helicopter.
Yeah.
And blow up a yacht.
Yeah, you got to do like parachuting, and you got to do like all this crazy
it's
stuff.
It's nuts, and I was like, whoa! There was like it just went from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Wait, no, it just went to 100, and then kept going.
Like, what do you call it? Like, Lost in the Dam was cool because you had the crew.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of riding in the crew, and then you get the when you're near people, you get different voice clips and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But Ballad of Gay Tony is far and away the best thing about GTA 4. Yeah.
I also didn't know that this was the first thing to have GTA 5's. Edition of after the mission goals, like after you do the mission, it says you've completed these, and then or go back and retry them to get 100% of the mission
all,
and stuff. Yeah, and I didn't know that was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like Ballad of Gay Tony.
Yeah, it's good.
It's pretty good, and just the different characters you meet, just in pure Rockstar fashion, they're all so colorful. They may not be likable, but they're really interesting to watch and be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's been a week. Oh, I've also been playing Threes. I've been on the casual train.
You liking it?
Yeah,
Three.
It's a mobile game where
use maths.
Yeah, you got to use math, and so you got these tiles, and you have to slide match tiles into each other to make another multiple of three.
Mm-hmm.
So you put two threes into each other, makes one tile of six. You put two sixes, makes one tile of 12.
Yeah,
and you have to keep going and keep combining tiles for as long as you can to get a high score. And
it's a good idea.
It's really, really fun. The amount of times I have accidentally drained my phone since I bought it is too many.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really fun. Like I've been wanting to play that more than certain console games. It's just really
wow.
I really enjoy Threes. I'm not good at it, but man is it fun.
Playing
so casual.
5-year-old PS3 games hooked on the casual. Like you really have lost
marathon in HD remakes of PS2 games.
You lost it, man. Get on the new games.
Ugh, retro's where it's at. You kids don't understand what it was like.
Yeah,
where all your games came from, whatever. But yeah, that's been my week.
Wow,
Levin, have you been playing Threes?
No, I have not.
What have you been playing?
I played the Doge version of it.
Oh,
yeah, there's a Doge version of it.
Oh,
I haven't been playing much this week of anything. This week's been a pretty big week for me because it's the first week since I won the Pro Tour qualifier, and a lot of people at the store were like talking to me and like we were discussing stuff a lot.
Oh, I see. You're doing your sponsorship.
Doing
dude.
The celebrity rounds.
Actually,
he's doing his marketing stuff. Now he's a Mr. Big Shot. He's got all of these.
We gotta get those t-shirts going.
He's
we
got these signings he has to attend. Interviews.
I actually wanted to tell you guys what. Because we just had a meeting today about like what the sponsorship entails. So I'm getting sponsored by Dungeon Comics.
And you gotta keep saying that, right?
No. I'm being sponsored.
That's part of your contract.
Yeah, no, with my friend Rob, my mentor, and John. They were actually thinking about gunslinging, me doing gunsling, which is like I sit at one of the tournaments and like people can bring their decks to me and like ask for my advice. And if they play against me and they beat me, they get, like, an extra pack. I'm like, what? That's so crazy. I don't know if I'm good enough for that.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, fortunately, I got sponsored. So, it's going to be a lot of fun now.
DM, son.
Yeah, man. I'm going to get my own t-shirt.
Whoa.
Yeah, from us.
Yeah. You know you're not wearing that Dungeon Comics t-shirt, right?
I'm just going to sew on our little patch.
You know, we're taking like silver Sharpies and just X-ing out
Dungeon Comics.
Dungeon, and we're putting our logo all over it.
So, yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a cool ride. It's thanks for everyone for the well wishes, for everybody who listens to this, because apparently a lot of people do. I was playing Magic and somebody played it in the background, and I didn't hear it until the match was over.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, they're playing my podcast, and they just howling. They're just like, don't you like your own voice? And it was just so bad. they're listening to us. But, yeah, no, it's been a wild ride. It's been
so yeah. You been... what you're telling me is you sold out.
100%
cashing in on your fame.
You've given up on actual nerd stuff, and you've just done the tour.
There have been some funny stories that came about from this. A couple of players have come up to me and been like, "We didn't know you played Magic." Because all we see you do at the store is sort cards. Because in the past couple of weeks, I haven't been playing at any of the tournaments.
Yeah.
And then they came in like, yo, we heard you were in a PDQ. We didn't even know you played Magic. And I'm like, we thought you were just the card sorting mule. And I'm like, I am the card sorting mule. But I play from time to time. So it was pretty funny to hear that kind of stuff.
Damn.
So, yeah, so it's very fortunate I got this opportunity. It's going to be a lot of fun. So. Wow. Yeah,
we gotta ride this train. This celeb train.
I can't even ride my own train.
I know. We need to like start up something.
Yeah, we gotta get marketing.
We need marketing events.
We meet and greets.
Yeah.
With the fans.
Yeah.
$5 for a handshake. $10 for an autograph.
So, our t-shirts are XL right now, but I suggested some like fitted shirts with deep V's from American Apparel, so I can wear it to Grand Prix. You know.
Extremely deep
V's. Extremely deep
V's. Why don't you just cut it yourself?
I'm talking like down to like my navel. Yeah, V's.
That's just a Bayonetta shirt. That's just your cosplaying Bayonetta.
Wow.
Yeah, no. In all seriousness, though, it's been a lot of fun recently, and it's really fun to see the support I'm getting from the community. You know, I like it a lot. So
it's good.
It's gonna be a wild ride until then. So
until the August.
Until August, yeah. So I'm still bad at the game though.
Clearly.
Very bad.
You're losing your skin. You're not playing.
Yeah, I'm not playing.
Sorting.
Actually, my mentors have been like, you have to play as often as you physically possibly can. Jeez. So I wasn't going to play on the Friday, and they're like, no. Look at this guy. He's not going to play.
they just sat me down.
Yeah, they just sat me down to give me a play.
Jeez, you're on that Magic diet.
I have to.
Yeah, man, you're sponsored now. You can't play Magic for fun anymore. Now you're contractually obligated.
Yeah. So that's the new joke, too. It's like, Blavin, isn't it important to have fun? I'm like, no, it's only about winning.
You need to win.
Now you're contractually obligated to play.
Oh, my God, I'm not obligated. Whatever. Yeah, no, so still sorting cards, though, so. Good times.
Cool.
Sorting cards has actually helped me. Because I can sort cards faster than anyone at the table when I have to register my deck. Because they're like, please sort it by color and alphabetical. I'm like, done. Some other people are like, they were counting out the ABCs. And I'm like, oh, dude, are you serious?
hey, I do that.
Yeah, well, I'm just like, whoa, guy.
Oh, you mean like you sit there and you go A, B, C, D.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I hear some people do. Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah.
What the hell, Anthony?
I do that.
So yeah, no, it's been great. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah. You're off to
This weekend I'm off to Philadelphia to play in a Grand Prix.
Wow.
So things I want to tell you guys about. I am not allowed to play in a Pro Tour qualifier for the next 2.5 months.
Why?
Because apparently I won the first Pro Tour qualifier in my area for this season. So for the rest of the season, I just can't compete. Because this whole season is for Portland.
Oh.
So if I join any of them, when they put my name in, it'll just like tell me that I'm already qualified so they can join.
That makes sense.
And also like,
that makes sense.
So I can't like dream crush some guy and like take his qualifier.
Yeah.
Now I get 2 trips to Portland.
And also I think maybe I get DQ'd as well if I do try to like join. But if I top 8 a Grand Prix, which is one of the ways to get into the Pro Tour,
yeah,
I can qualify for the next Pro Tour I'm not qualified for. So the next upcoming one.
Oh.
So hopefully at this Grand Prix in Philadelphia, it is my specialty, which is limited. So
clean
hopefully.
Up.
No, Rob's going to be there. So
clean up.
My mentor is going to be
Rob
there.
Rob was there last time.
Yeah, but still, if we do end up being both in the top 8.
You guys driving down?
Yeah, we're driving down, so it's going to be quite a while.
Oh, that's a big drive.
It's a big drive, yeah, so... I'm going to have my annoying cap on. Yeah, so it's going to be... Hopefully I do well at this event. And top 16 is even a good thing. So, I mean, they pray prizes all the way down. So if I top 16, I think I get like...
Where is it at in Philadelphia?
I don't know, actually. I think it's in some sort of convention center. I heard it's nice there.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be leaving on the Friday, so maybe I won't be here on the next podcast.
But, yeah, okay, cool.
But yeah, no, it's going to be crazy now that I get to my entry fees. I didn't realize how much I travel for this game now. Pretty fun.
That's what you do when you're celeb travel.
No, like even before when I was a scrub. Well, I still am scrub. But like when I was trying not to be a scrub.
That's false
modesty. Well, even though I still am. Like going all over the place from Montreal and stuff. Like didn't realize that a lot of people make it out from lots of different places.
Well, just remember, like I said before, that was fun. Now it's business.
Now it's business.
You're on the pro tour now.
Oh god, not even. It's
just wait till like Dragon Shield.
So are you like not allowed to play with us anymore because like you're like contractually obligated to only play
actually
the viewed scene.
The other thing too is that a lot of people notice that I just teach a lot of people how to play Magic, mostly girls.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, he's teaching somebody new again. Like it's just apparently that's like all I do. I just teach people how to play new.
I have a story.
Oh, yeah, tell me.
He was teaching someone.
Fill me in.
He was teaching someone a dungeon.
Oh.
Right. As he said, it was a lady.
Oh.
He opened up with, hey, just to let you know, I want a PTQ
reaction. That was true. That was really funny. I said, hey, by the way, I'm on the pro tour.
I'm on the pro tour. I can teach you some magic.
But
and I was like, what?
Here's another story. So I was downstairs, and I was trying to pitch to these kids that were downstairs that me and Rob we're going to have like a set review for the new set before our midnight pre-release.
Okay.
So we're going to sit there and like, because what happens is at our midnight pre-releases, we have a draft and then there's like 3 hours in between. Then it's the midnight pre-release.
Yeah.
So usually what we do is just, we just drink or get drunk and then go to the pre-release. Or that's mostly what I do. So now we're trying to fill it in with something. So mm-hmm. We're going to try to do a set review. And I told these kids about it and they're just looking at me and they're just like, why would we want to listen to you guys? But, like, they didn't say it out loud, right? But I could see it in their faces. I'm like, all right, so that's how it's going to be, huh?
Are you sure? Are you sure they had that on their faces? Or were you just looking for a reason?
I think, deep down inside, I was looking for a reason.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, me and Rob both qualified for the Pro Tour. They're like, oh, man, so when is it then? No, it's just a... It's been funny, like...
So when you told this girl that you were on the Pro Tour, I want to know what relevance does that have? Because you're teaching this girl how to play Magic. Does she even know what the Pro Tour is?
No.
I don't think she did.
Oh, actually, I lied last podcast. There's a collection I have to make. This is not the highest level of Magic you can play.
Oh.
There is one more level higher than this.
Yeah.
Where only 16 people are invited to play in it.
Oh.
16.
And one of them is like, I think... It's the winners of each Pro Tour. It is the Player of the Year. It's the Rookie of the Year. The Magic Online Champion. There's just like all these like heavy hitters.
Are you telling me it's the All-Star Game?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they play all these different formats.
Yeah.
And apparently it's the craziest like craziest thing you can watch. Because it's just these amazing players all playing in these crazy, crazy...
So later in the year when you're on Top 16...
Oh, God.
You're going to advertise the site, right?
No way. Like, even the Stone Cold Killers in the pro scene, they're not even part of the top 16 or whatever.
Yeah, okay, so I don't know if I would really count them then as the top-end Magic. If that, the All-Star Game is always usually there for show.
Yeah, but but these are, like, the absolute best players. Like the
pro same with the... Look at the NBA All-Star Game.
Yeah.
It's an exhibition thing, right?
But this is more like... This is, like, an actual sanctioned term. And, like... You qualify for this thing, I think, too. And,
okay.
It is, like, if you're a winner of a pro tour, like, you've beaten a lot of, like, other people, and you've weeded out yourself. And, like, and it's a very individual game, right? So, yeah. Overall, it's been, again, a really sweet, sweet experience. Very
cool.
Fortunate.
Cool.
Especially since, like, I've only been under Rob's tutelage for, like, 6 months.
Mm.
So,
mm.
Yeah. So hopefully I haven't reached my cap and I'll get better as a Magic player and not misplay myself losses.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to be in and out of this podcast because of your traveling needs.
Oh, maybe. Who knows?
That's a real shame.
Yeah. Who knows? Hey, so on my Twitter, I changed it. And now it now has a background.
Also,
I put in my Twitter, my description says I'm a member of Three Nerds in a Basement.
Is what? You didn't put...
Does it have a link to the website?
You didn't put pro to a qualifier?
I put magic player, member of Three Nerds in a Basement, and loves to sing and dance.
You put your website as...
Because before it said, this is a Twitter made by Vince and Anthony to chronicle Blavin's everyday life.
Did you put the website as Three Nerds in the Basement?
No, it's TNIB or whatever, okay. Yeah. So, guys.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah.
When your Twitter account was cool. And we talked about you eating wings.
Or Blaine's trying to hit on a girl.
Yeah.
He failed.
Good times.
Yeah. It was excellent.
Oh my god. You guys.
Yeah, no. So it's a shame they won't be here for the next couple weeks or on and off. Because I was going to start to think about doing the Gundam Unicorn.
Movie club?
Yeah. But I was going to do it separately as a video.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
And cross-posted on YouTube and this podcast thing.
As a video?
This thing we do.
Us watching it?
No, us reviewing it in video form. Because a lot of people, I don't know, I'm assuming they would rather, when they go to YouTube, see people's faces.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Mm. Or at least the option to see people's faces. Because we're still just talking.
Yeah.
So are we going to get people to do our makeup and stuff?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I believe it's just about 7 weeks away, episode 7.
The final one?
So, I figured if we start that pretty soon, you can probably, do it over the next 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The thing I've been noticing that a lot of podcasts have been partaking in is this thing called Patreon. You guys have heard of this?
No.
Patreon.
Hey, or Patron?
Okay. Patron?
Patron?
Saint? Patron Saint?
No. You are a patron member?
I don't know.
So maybe. What does it do?
Basically, you donate. I don't know, like, but every time I hear it on a podcast, it's like, oh, you know, donate. Think about Kickstarter only
directly to us,
directly to you, and you don't give anything back.
Yeah,
it's literally a donation thing.
Yeah,
and I've been looking, I'm like, oh man, that sounds like
I don't know.
I don't agree with it. Like, whatever. The only point of me bringing it up is that one of the top end rewards is. Or not top end reward, but just one of the things you get as a backer or as a donator is they do these like Google Hangouts with your audience, and I figured, well, we don't need to do a Patreon, we could just do a Google Hangout.
Oh my god, free
if people want it.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
And so I thought, if you always ever wanted to partake in a Google Hangout,
oh man,
that could be on the cards. You just have to email us at tnab.letters@gmail.com.
I like. How we think we're important enough that people would want to interview.
That's the thing. I'm like, listen, I've seen the numbers. I know there's a dedicated audience that's not very big, but if they're that dedicated to listen to three randoms on the internet, how dedicated are they to actually involve themselves?
To giving us money.
No, not
no,
money.
No. Yo. Yeah, this sounds like I'm on board for this. I want to meet you guys.
I don't know how we would do it. I don't know.
I meet you all the time.
I don't know if we would have to do it like us three on one computer. And then because I know the Google Hangout limit is 10 people.
Oh my god!
Not that I think we would get 10 people.
Oh my god!
We'd get like one person.
10 people? That's it? Like, we can't even fit that.
So could we like record this and then like put it up as a show?
I wouldn't be a substitution for a show. But if we do it on YouTube on a Google Hangout, they automatically keep the recording, and then it would just be automatically posted as long as like.
Will there be like five different screens on the YouTube video?
Yeah, and then I think they have it set up so whoever's talking at the moment, they would be the big screen.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is so
exciting.
That's how
on Giant Bomb they do their morning show.
They do their podcast like that. The only thing is that because we all record together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would assume we would do this Google Hangout on the day we record the podcast, like either before or after.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it would be us three, again, on one computer, or if we'd have to do two computers. Mm-hmm. The only problem is...
We should do us three on three computers, but at your house.
No, obviously it would be here. The only thing is, I don't know if the internet would be able to do three.
Yeah, your bandwidth would just get crushed.
Because I don't have very good upload. Yeah. That's why it might be safer to just do the one computer thing with a webcam.
Oh, man.
No, we'll talk about this later. Okay.
No, man. Albert? Who else? Who else is listening?
I don't know.
No, come on. We have Albert. We have Angel Fire. Is that his name?
Alias Angel.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Angel La Angel.
His name's Peter.
Peter.
Peta.
Is Byron Grassing.
Oh, Byron Grassing.
I only know this stuff because I read the emails and I see your real names.
Oh, okay. Matsusaka or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Matsusaka.
Matsusaka. Oh, God. You know, just come on in. We'll hang out.
The biggest thing I have to mention is, if you join, be aware or be comfortable with the fact that you will have your face publicly put online.
If we decide
to go through with this, just know, like, I'm not going to make you sign a contract, but I'm letting you know right now that if you join the Hangout, I think one of the terms of service is you agree to having your face publicly revealed or whatever. Like, there's no privacy issues anymore. Like, you're on the internet forever.
But we'll be very nice. We'll be
like, and hi. To be fair, if you're on Facebook, you're probably pretty comfortable.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
And for a special backer fee, we'll do it shirtless.
18 plus show. Show me your dicks.
No. So, Anthony. So again, this does not require any money. This is more just write in if you want to participate.
Yes, it'll be so much fun.
It'll most likely be a Sunday evening, Eastern time.
Eastern Standard.
Yeah, Eastern. Sunday or Monday evening, depending on Blavin's sponsorship duties.
Oh my God.
So if you guys got church, you know, kind of SOL.
Yeah. Sunday evening?
Yeah, Sunday evening. Sunday night mass.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
This is going to be so much fun. You should come join.
I don't think you should hype yourself up for it. I don't know if anybody's actually going to write
it. I bet you any money, everybody's just been waiting. They're just like, man, the minute Vince announces Google Hangouts, all us.
All 80 of our dedicated listeners.
All 80 of the dedicated listeners like, this is it. This is it.
I hope so. Let's hope so.
Somewhere in Europe, the theater's in a basement cult. Ready.
Yeah. So yeah. You can look forward to maybe a Google Hangout and hopefully video reviews of the Unicorn Gundam series in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, we can get like a tripod.
And I think that might be it for everything.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys don't watch Community, right?
No.
Not anymore.
The G.I. Jeff?
You guys need to watch that episode. Just that episode.
Just G.I. Joe.
It's literally a G.I. Joe episode.
Wow.
And what I mean by literally is, like, they got the original art style back. They got the original voice actors back.
Oh, it's a cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they have toy commercials.
No way.
Yes. They made toys of each of the G.I. Joe versions of the cast of Community.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
There's Nurse Annie.
I really hope they are, Comic-Con exclusive toys. That
so
I can,
just get them.
That I can get for like $100 billion
each.
Yeah. Because that's the pricing that's going to be there. But, watch it. Pretty cool. Okay, enough of the rambling. I've let this ending go on for too long.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get out of here.
Yep.
Next week, Captain America, the Winter Soldier is, I know you've all been waiting for our review on that, so that'll be coming up.
And Google Hangouts.
Spoilers, it's probably good.
All right, then. See you guys later.
See ya.
Bye.